All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I want to read a verse tonight that is inclusive of every person in this room. It is inclusive of every person listening to this on a CD. It is inclusive of everybody listening to this on the radio. It is inclusive of everyone listening or watching it on the internet. This verse is for everyone. The Apostle Paul writes this verse, and I'll read the verse that is my text. It is the 12th verse. And here he says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now, if you go back to the earlier verse, Paul says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." And Paul then amplifies upon that prophecy that was spoken by Isaiah. Verse 11 is a prophecy by Isaiah, Isaiah 45, verse 23, if you want to look it up. And in verse 12, Paul amplifies upon that and says, "So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." I want to speak to you tonight a message that I've entitled, "A Day of Reckoning." A Day of Reckoning. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, how thankful we are for your blessing. Our hearts have been blessed to hear this beautiful music tonight, to hear these wonderful testimonies tonight. And now I pray that you will bless our hearts as we hear the Word of God proclaimed. We are thankful that we have a Bible. And Lord, we're all here tonight. So I pray that your Word will touch our hearts this evening. I pray that not a one of us will go out of here without realizing that one day, whether we're saved or whether we're lost, we're going to have to stand before you, and we're going to have to give an account of how we have lived our lives. And so, Father, drill that point home to us this evening. I pray that you will help me as I speak. I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and use the message tonight to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have chosen a text to preach from tonight that ought to arrest every person listening. Paul tells us here that there is coming a day when each and every one of us is going to have to stand before God and give an account of our lives. Our foolishness will be a part of that account. Our rebellion will be a part of that account. Each of us will have to answer for that which we have done, both the good and the bad. I remember my grandfather used to say often, he would watch something on TV or he would watch the news and somebody would have done something on the news that they were reporting on. And my grandfather used to always say, "There is a day of reckoning for that fella." He used to say that all the time. I remember him saying that. We often look at the world and all that goes on in our world, and we sometimes shake our heads at what's happening, and and mutter under our breath, there just is no justice in this world. There's no justice in this world today. And I am afraid that in many, many areas, that is exactly the truth. But I can assure you, dear friend, that there will be justice in the next world. There may not be justice in this world, but there will be justice in the next world. Men might do things down here and get away with it, but not one soul is going to be able to slip anything past God Almighty. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. When I was growing up, there was this kid in our neighborhood. He was as mean as they come, and always in trouble, always doing something ridiculous. And we would gather each morning to get on the bus. We were in about the 7th or 8th grade, and we would all gather down at the bus stop. And every morning when he got to the bus stop, he would reach down in his pants pocket and he would pull out this shiny new Timex watch. And he'd put that watch on. And I watched him do it for about 3 or 4 days. And then I asked him, why do you put that in your pocket? Why don't you put that on in your house? And he said, well, if my mother sees it, she's going to know that I stole it. And she'll kill me, he said. And I told him, laughing, I said, one of these days you're going to forget to take it off. And when you do, she's going to see it and she's going to know and she's going to find you out. And sure enough, just a couple of weeks later, he forgot to take it off. And he wore it in the house and his mother spotted it. And she put him in the car and drove him over to the Ben Franklin store where he stole that watch and marched him in by his ear and made him confess to them that he had stolen that watch. You see, be sure your sin will find you out. We might get away with some things for now, but the day is coming when there will be a day of reckoning, and every one, according to the Word of God, will give an account to God. Now, there are three things I want you to notice from this verse of Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice the people giving the account. Notice with me first the people giving the account. Look carefully at that 12th verse. The Apostle Paul says, every one of us. Right there's the people. Every one of us. The matter of giving account to God applies to each and every one of us. I have had people tell me through the years that they don't care about the things of God. One fellow said to me, none of that concerns me. None of that God stuff concerns me. But you know, that's not what this verse teaches us. This verse tells us plainly that every person will give account of himself to the Lord. Think about it, folks. Every person who has ever lived or will ever live on this earth is one day going to have to give account of himself to God. Nobody is exempt. Every person from Adam on is one day going to have to stand before the God of heaven and is going to have to answer to God. It will not matter what your status is in life. It will not matter to what heights you have reached. The high and the low, the rich and the poor, the strong and the weak, the wise and the ignorant. I mean, it just doesn't make any difference. Every person will stand before the Lord. And on that day of reckoning, there's not a one who will be able to rig the system. Nobody is going to be able to pull rank. Nobody is going to be able to slide through. No, sir. Every person will be fully examined and completely examined by the God who sees all and who knows all. And by the way, this God that sees all and knows all knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts, and he understands every motive that crosses our minds. We're all going to have to give an account. Now today, there are a lot of people who live their lives like they don't have to answer to anyone. Oh, my friend, you couldn't be any more mistaken. Maybe because of their status or because of their wealth or because of their power, they think that they are exempt from having to answer to men. Oh, we know a lot of people like this in our world, don't we? Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the Adolf Hitlers and the Saddam Husseins of this world. The Madonnas and the Hillary Clintons of this world, who say what they want and do what they want without fear of what men will do. And these people may think that they can fool us, but I assure you, they're not going to be able to fool God. There's a verse over in the book of Galatians that was written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. I remember preaching a sermon on that verse, and I researched the word to find out what it meant. And a synonym for that word is the word outwitted. God will not be outwitted. You know, old O.J. Simpson might have had his slick lawyers use slick theatrics, and they might have outwitted the state of California and got him declared innocent, but there is no slick lawyer going to get any of us off when we stand before the God of heaven, because God will not be mocked. So, dear friend, if there is anything you need to prepare for, I'm telling you, it is this day when you must stand before God. Because just as sure as you're sitting here, and just as sure as I'm standing here, the Bible says that we're all going to have to give an account. So that's the person. Secondly, I want you to notice the personableness. Is that a word? I just made it one. All right? Notice the personableness of the account. You will notice in this verse, Paul says that every man will give an account of himself. That's personable. In other words, this is a personal matter between you and God. The giving account, the giving of an account is upon you, yourself. And in no way is that a good thing. I mean, we're all guilty, are we not? You do not have to answer for how other people have acted. Now, I'm personally glad about that. But then in another aspect, that's really not such a good thing, because truth is, I have to answer for how I have acted. So I know I'm in trouble. How about you? Look at verse 11. Paul says here that every knee shall bow. Now, I know that a lot of you have gone over to the hospital or down to the hospital, and you have a new knee. But let me tell you, it's still yours, right? It's still yours. I remember when Karen had her tendon surgery back in the fall, the doctor gave us a little slip of paper, and it had serial numbers on it. And I looked down, and he said, "Now you hang on to that." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Those are your wife's new tendon serial numbers. You may need those numbers one day." And I said, "Where'd you get these?" He said, "From a cadaver." You know what a cadaver is? That's a dead person. And the body parts come with their own serial number. And they reinserted those in my wife's ankle. And so technically they're not hers. They belong to somebody else, but they don't need them anymore. So now they've been given to my wife. But let me tell you what it says here, folks. Every knee shall bow. Every knee. This is personable. And Paul says that it is written that every knee shall bow. That means your knees, whether you got new ones, whether you got artificial ones, every knee shall bow. It's written in the Word of God that every knee shall bow. Isaiah 45 and verse 23, the prophet very plainly tells us that every knee shall bow before God. Now, you know how about this bowing thing. The Oriental cultures bow when they greet one another. Middle Eastern cultures bow when they meet one another. When anyone bows before another, it is a sign of deference. It is a sign of honor, of respect. Oriental custom has done this as far back as anyone can remember as a sign of respect. The believer will bow before the Lord when we're raptured to heaven. That day is coming, folks. The believers will bow before the Lord when we are raptured to heaven. You can go over to the book of the Revelation in chapter 4 and in chapter 5, and you can read where John saw all of the redeemed gathered around the throne in heaven. And in the midst of that scene, with all the redeemed through all the ages standing around the throne, there was on the throne the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And John saw the redeemed from all the ages standing there with all of the angels of heaven, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels, he said. And they were all crying, which doesn't mean crying, but crying. They were all crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Amen. Now let me ask you, folks, do you think you're going to be standing there with your proud chest puffed out and your head held high? I don't think so. I think you will be bowed low, bowing in humility before the Lamb of God who is seated upon the throne. And John said in Revelation 5:14, "And we will all fall down and worship him that liveth forever and ever." So the believer is going to give an account when we get to heaven. The believer will bow before the Lord when we are standing around the throne after the rapture. But the unbelievers will also bow before him. Now, I know that right now there are multitudes of unbelieving folks who shake their collective fist in God's face and they refuse to bow the knee. They just flatly refuse. There are people who defiantly disavow God. There are people who challenge God's authority in every matter. But my Bible says that the day is coming when even they are going to bow their knee before Him. That bold atheist here on earth, 1 second after death, is no longer an atheist. No longer an atheist. Let me tell you something, folks. You think about this. There is not one atheist in hell tonight. Not a one. Every atheist on this earth who died without Christ and who was plunged into the pits of hell is a full-fledged believer tonight. Oh, it's too late. For you see, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You cannot wait until death comes and then you get shocked into believing in hell and then say, oh, excuse me, God, little change of heart here. No, it's too late. You got to get saved now. That bold atheist, oh, he's going to have a change of heart. Every eternal soul in hell believes that God the Father sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross for sin. Let me take it a step further. Every single atheist in hell tonight believes that this Bible is the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of the living God. Amen. They all believe in the virgin birth right now. Oh yes. Oh yes. But it's too late now. It's too late. There are no atheists in hell tonight. All the atheists are here. Let that sink in. That's profound right there. I don't care who you are. There are no atheists in hell. All the atheists are here. There's none in hell. And in Revelation 20, John saw at the end of our Lord's 1,000-year millennial reign, a great white throne. And all the redeemed are there. And John saw the dead, small and great, gathered from the pits of hell, gathered from the earth. And they were all stood in front of the one sitting upon the throne. And John tells us that the books were opened. What books? These books. All 66 of them. The books were opened, which tells us the way to eternal life and which tells us how to be saved now. And in chapter 20 and verse 12, John says that every one of them was judged or will be judged out of those things which were written in the books. In other words, every man shall give an account of himself. Every man shall give an account of himself. When asked by the Redeemer, by the Savior, by the Lord Jesus Himself, why did you reject the grace of God? Why did you refuse to accept Christ as your Savior when you had the opportunity? My friend, you will not be able to give God an answer that is going to fly. Just think of what you will feel like standing there before the God of the universe, and the light is shining upon you. You sat here Sunday after Sunday, and you heard sermon after sermon, and you sat there picking and dissecting at every point. And then you walked out each week having said no to the offer of eternal life. And so when the Lord turns in the books to Romans chapter 1 and says to you, you are without excuse. What do you think you're going to do? What do you think you're going to say? You know what I think's going to happen? When the Lord turns to that unsaved rejecter of Christ who has sat in church over and over and over and spurned every invitation. I think when the Lord Jesus says, why didn't you get saved? Well, Lord, and then all of a sudden, they're just going to get silent. Because you see, there is no reason. There is no reason. Why would you reject Christ? No reason is going to be valid. And I think what's going to happen is that right at that moment, when eyeball to eyeball, the Lord Jesus looks at you and says, why did you not get saved? I think that unsaved person will fall to his knees. I think he will bow to the ground in guilt, knowing that what they are about to get is what they deserve. My friend, here's the bottom line. You're either saved or you're lost. Here's the bottom line. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. It's that simple. And that is why Paul said, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. So we've seen the person, that's us, as an individual. We've seen the personableness. I mean, we ourselves. Think of that. Me. We're going to have to answer to God. But in number three, I want you to notice the person to whom the account is given. Look carefully at the last part of this 12th verse. And Paul said, we are going to have to give an account of ourselves to God. There's the person to whom the account is given. This is the really sobering part, if you want my opinion. This is the really sobering part of this entire verse. I remember when I was in college and I went to the post office and there was a little pink slip in my box. It had at the top, call slip. You did not want to get those. And it said call slip and it had my name on it. And it said come immediately to the dean of men's office. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I mean, just now. And so I knew exactly what that conversation would be. And so I knew how it would go. And I immediately started working on my speech between the post office and the administration building, which was only about 100 yards. And I started working on my speech to throw myself on the mercy of the dean of men. But when I walked into his office, he had the rule book open to page 14. He knew. He had it open. He was ready. And no matter what argument I used, and I used a multitude, he held up that rule book, shook it at me, and he said, but Norris, it says right here on page 14. And then he would read it to me again. And I would say, I know, Dean, but... And then I would argue again. And he would hold up with his left hand and point at me with his right hand. And then he would point back and at page 14, he would say, but Norris, it says right here on page 14. And folks, I think that is exactly what God is going to do with us. John said, and the books were opened. I mean, just imagine that whatever argument you use to try to explain why you didn't get saved, God Almighty, who has His Word in His hand, the very Word that He wrote, don't forget that, the very Word that He wrote, and believe me, folks, He knows what's in His book, and no matter what excuse you give for not being saved, He will turn to you and He will say, but it says right here in the book, right here in John 3, that you must be born again. But God, no, it says right here that you must be born again. There is no other way. Folks, from beginning to the end of the Bible, we are warned about this day. We are warned of this dreadful day. We are told that there is coming a day of reckoning. We are told that the Lord watches over that which He created, and that everything is seen by the God of the universe. We are told that God even knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. He's not going to miss anything. I had a fellow in my church when I was pastoring down in West Virginia at Twin City, and he was a troubled man, very troubled man. And his wife came to me one day at church and she said, "Pastor, can you help him?" And I said, "I will try." And I called him and asked him if he would meet with me, and he agreed to meet, and we sat and talked for a couple of hours. And he assured me that he was fine. And his wife was worrying about him for no reason at all. And he promised me that he was dealing with his demons. That's how he called it. He said, "Pastor, I'm dealing with my demons. And everything will be fine." And he went out of my office. I prayed with him. I gave him a handshake and a hug, and I told him that I would do anything in my power to help him. And he smiled and said, "Pastor, don't worry about me. I'm fine." And the very next day, we were having a birthday party for our girls. It was a Saturday. And we were having a birthday party for our girls. And the house phone rang. Remember house phones? And when I answered the phone, it was his wife, and she was screaming on the other end of the phone. I couldn't understand what she was saying. And finally, I got her to calm down a little bit, and she said, "Pastor, he did it." I said, "Where are you?" She said, "Home." "I'm home. Hurry." I got in the car and drove about 7-8 minutes to where they lived. And when I got out of the car, the police were already there. And it was one of the most horrendous scenes I've ever witnessed in my life. And when I walked in, the police said, "Are you Pastor Norris?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, sir, we hate to ask you to do this, but somebody's got to identify this body." And I said, "Well, I've never done anything like this." He said, "Well, you better be prepared to be in a state of shock." I stepped through that door, and oh my goodness, you talk about a state of shock. I could not believe what my eyes saw. The point is, folks, he convinced me in about an hour, 2 hour period that he was fine. But I could not see the thoughts and the intents of his heart. I couldn't see that. He had me fooled. He sat and smiled at me and acted like he was spiritual and acting like he was working on things. But the truth of the matter is, he was not fine. And I had no idea what that man was thinking. But God will not be deceived. You might fool me. You might fool one of these men sitting on this platform, but you will not fool God. Not even the best of us will be able to deceive the Lord. Now, the way you prepare for this day of reckoning is you receive Christ as your Savior. You see, it's written. It's written. Every knee shall bow. It's written. There's no escaping the matter. Question is, are you prepared? That is why we are to be prepared for it, because it's written. It's coming. Just get ready now. The Lord said, call upon him while he is near. And he's near tonight. The Lord Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Well, folks, there's a whole lot more than two or three of us here. So the Lord's here. He's near. He said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. But if you reject the Lord now, the day of reckoning is coming, where you will stand before God and you will not hear him say, come unto me. You will hear him say, depart from me. And you will be cast out. If you will come now, you won't be cast out. You will be accepted. But the day is coming when you, think of it, dear friend, the day is coming when you will stand before God Almighty and you will give account. And each time the sun comes up and goes down, we are one day closer to that day when we must all give account. So let me ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? You ever get audited by the IRS? They send you that letter and they say, we'd like to sit down and talk with you. Now you better have your papers in order. Well, my friend, you better have your life in order. Because you're messing with one that you cannot get anything past him. Are you ready? We must all give an account.